Orange and White game MVP. Who's it going to be? On offense? On defense? You've got some. I've got some. Let's talk about it. That and more here on your Wednesday, Locked On Vols.
You are Locked On Vols, your daily podcast on the Tennessee Volunteers. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day.
What is up, everybody? Welcome into it. It's your Wednesday edition of Locked On Vols. Appreciate you guys being here with us today. You know the drill. Like and subscribe on YouTube. If you haven't already, please, please subscribe to the Locked On Vols YouTube channel. And always follow me on Twitter at underscore Kaner and at Locked On Vols. This is your first listen. Appreciate that. Each and every day, Locked On Vols. And we are continuing to preview the Tennessee spring football game, the orange and white game that's taking place on Saturday. We've gone through the first 2 days of the week, kind of broke down the biggest storylines, some of those position battles we're going to be watching. Now today, who's going to win MVP offensively and defensively? That and more coming up, plus another mock draft. Four volunteers selected in the first two rounds of Mel Kiper Jr.'s 4.0 mock draft. That's coming up in segment number three of the show. But hey, this episode is brought to you by FanDuel Sportsbook, the official sportsbook of Locked On. Make every moment more. Visit FanDuel.com/LockedOn today and go ahead and get started. All right, so do they actually give MVP awards for spring games? I don't think so. I'm not in that locker room, so I don't know if anybody gets a game ball or whatever. I would assume not, because let's be honest. Who wants to be the MVP of a spring game? I mean, you want to go out there and you want to perform well, don't get me wrong. But again, it's just a spring game. So I'm not trying to say this show is kind of de-minimizing, you know, the topic leader here in terms of, you know, the spring game MVP. But it's a fun conversation to have because, you know, it's a great opportunity for some of these young guys. And I say young guys because a spring game, much like spring practice overall, you want to get in there and you want to get better. You want to be repping the fundamentals. You know, you want to go win jobs, right? But also, you know, your proven guys that you know are going to be playing for you on Saturdays in the fall, you do not want to take any chance of those guys getting hurt whatsoever. There will not be a quarterback that is touched in this spring game. And if so, that guy's going to be running laps for everybody in Neyland Stadium to see out there on Saturday, right? I mean, Joe Milton will not get touched. Nico Imaliava will not get touched. Navy Shuler won't get touched. Gaston Moore won't get touched. None of the quarterbacks, they'll be wearing red non-contact jerseys. They're not going to be touched. But also, you know, guys like Cooper Mays, who has spent a lot of time out this spring. You know, he might play on Saturday. He told the media he was going to play on Saturday, but I guarantee it's going to be for a series or two, and then that's all she wrote. You know, Brew McCoy, Jabari Small, Jalen Wright, or Jabari Small and Brew McCoy, of course, have not been practicing this spring practice. Jalen Wright has been extremely limited. Ramel Keaton has been limited here lately. You know, they've already shut a couple of guys down. So those guys that you know are going to be playing for you, like, you're not going to be seeing extended periods of time out on the football field on Saturday. So that's why when we have this discussion of MVPs, who's going to shine, it's got to be a younger guy. You know, I made the joke earlier in the week, and it's not really a joke because, you know, credit where credit's due. But Jack Jansen, a couple of years ago, his first couple of springs here on campus, he was the quote-unquote spring game MVP because he would catch all these touchdowns. Jack Jancic's a nice player. He's going to make a great coach one day, but he's probably not going to figure into Tennessee's wide receiver rotation come in the fall, right? So it's a chance for those type of guys to shine, or some of these young up-and-comer guys to shine. So with that being said, let's start on offense. Who do I think might be offensive MVP when it's all said and done after the spring game? Well, the easy conversation is to start it around the quarterbacks, because I don't think Joe Milton will be playing an awful lot. I'll go with Nico Imaliava. Tennessee only has four quarterbacks on its football team right now. Two are on scholarship, to my knowledge, and that's Joe Milton and that's Nico. You know, and a lot of you guys, and I forgot to hit this on Twitter Tuesday, I apologize, but somebody asked me kind of what's the format of the orange and white game going to be. I don't know for sure, but it won't, like, there won't be kicking game in the scrimmage or in the orange and white game. Like, you're not going to see guys line up and go on kickoff. That's a great way to get hurt in spring practice, right? Now, they might do punts and field goals and all that type of stuff, but there will be no defense. Defense won't be live in those situations. You'll see it on Saturday. It's going to be 11-on-11. Sure, I don't know how much it'll be ones against ones, but there'll be 11-on-11s. and it's an opportunity to do situational stuff. Defense will practice third downs. Defense will practice red zone defense. Defense will practice third and longs, all that type of stuff. Offense will do the same thing. It'll practice 20 going in, red zone, 20 coming out, you know, backed up in your own territory. It'll practice third and short, third and long. It'll practice all that type of stuff. So you'll see situational type stuff. So will it be a straight handoff, gain 4 yards, move the markers, gain 5 yards, move the markers, gain 2 yards, move the markers, all that type of stuff, and then a first down? I don't know. But it'll be 11 on 11, but it won't be a true game. Now, I don't think there'll be any type of point system for the defense or anything like that. There definitely won't be like this, you know, megaphone and, you know, skills contest and all that like Butch Jones did back in the day. That's not what this is about. You're not getting any work in when you do that type of stuff. It's not, I mean, I understand fans are going to be in attendance, but this is not really for show. This is, you're treating this like an actual, you know, scrimmage, and you're trying to get something out of it. So that's what the format's going to be about. So I'll go with Nico because I think Nico will play more than Joe, and I think Nico will have an opportunity to see a whole lot of series and a chance to go make some plays. And he's a quarterback, so he's the easiest guy to impact the game, especially if you're giving out a award like this. I also think young running backs will have a chance to shine because they've kind of been one of the big themes of spring practice. Dylan Sampson will have an opportunity to run the heck out of the football. Jalen Wright, I'd be shocked if he plays. Jabari Small, we know he's not going to play. Even if Jalen Wright suits up, I don't think he's going to touch the ball maybe more than once or twice and then be done. So it's a chance for Dylan Sampson. It's a chance for a guy that everybody's talking about this spring, and DeShaun Bishop to finish strong. Cam Seldon to finish strong here in spring practice. So if it's not Nico, might be one of those young running backs, Dylan Sampson or DeShaun Bishop. If it's none of those guys, what about Jacob Warren? I don't know if Jacob Warren will play an awful lot, but Jacob Warren has been really, really active this spring. He has been one of the primary targets for Joe Milton in both scrimmages so far in spring practice. So maybe Jacob Warren can catch a touchdown, maybe two. Maybe he'll have, you know, 5 or 6 receptions. It'd be great to see him have that many receptions in an actual game come fall time. We'll have to see. But if it's not Nico or one of the two young running backs or three young running backs, maybe it's a veteran and Jacob Warren simply on just the volume that he's probably going to get. But again, much like some of these other guys, you absolutely can't afford to have an injury to Jacob Warren. I mean, if you have an injury to Jacob Warren, you talk about worst case scenario. Seriously. Because you're left with a transfer coming in that's never played in the system and a true freshman in Ethan Davis and some walk-on guys who have been beat up the past 2 years. You're up a creek if that happens. So again, I don't think it'd be Jacob Warren because I don't think they're gonna, you know, give him the opportunity to maybe get hurt at all. But he has had a really, really good spring. And then finally, I have another name here. What if we go wide receiver? Well, we know Brew's not playing. Dante Thornton has been extremely limited. I'd be shocked if they give him a whole lot of run on Saturday. Squirrel White has been banged up. Ramel Keaton is banged up. So by process of elimination, who else do you have out there? Jazz Nimrod would be my pick at receiver. I think that he is a guy that the staff really likes. I think he's a guy that can play on the outside. I think he's a guy that's gotten a whole lot better, took advantage of a redshirt season last year, and has gotten a whole lot better. So those would be kind of my picks position by position on the offensive side of the football. But it's hard not to think it's going to be Nico, right? Nico's going to get a whole lot of volume. He's going to get a whole lot of reps. He's going to get a whole lot of opportunities to go out there and shine. And that's really what the fans want to see, sure, too. I mean, of course, you want to see Joe Milton go out there and shine, but again, he's QB1. You need to take care of him, and you need to take care of Nico as well, and they'll have those red jerseys on. So those are who I think could be offensive MVP of the Orange and White game for the University of Tennessee. Hey, when we come back, we are going to take a look at the defensive side of the football. Who could win MVP for Tennessee on the defensive side of the football? That is coming up next right here on Locked On Vols. Guys, grand slams, no hitters, double plays, they're all back. There's no better place to get in on all that MLB action than FanDuel. It's America's number one sports book. That's because right now, new customers can step up to the plate with no sweat first bet up to $1,000. Just go to FanDuel.com/LockedOn to sign up, place your first bet, and get up to $1,000 back in bonus bets if your bet doesn't win. You can pick the over and under on home runs in a game or a futures bet maybe for the season for maybe Aaron Judge and the New York Yankees, who had that, you know, that amazing historic season last year. What about the pitchers to go over under the strikeout total in a given start or, again, the season for those future bets? And you can set up a same-game parlay with your favorite matchups of the day. So don't miss your chance for a no-sweat first bet up to $1,000 when you join FanDuel today. Just go to FanDuel.com/LockedOn to sign up. FanDuel, official partner of Major League Baseball. All right, guys, welcome back into it, your Wednesday edition of the show. It is Locked On Vols, your team every single day. We are a part of the Locked On Podcast Network, and man, we're rolling right along through spring practice. Spring practice number 12, that happened yesterday. It is in the books. Tennessee will practice again tomorrow morning. Tennessee will have an accelerated walkthrough. They call it Fast Fridays during the season. That's coming up on Friday. And then the Orange and White game is on Saturday. And, man, it's kind of the blink of an eye. The way they do spring practices, they kind of schedule it. I think it started like March the 13th, somewhere around. No, I think it was March the 20th, actually. So it's almost been a month, but they scheduled out to where you only practice a couple of days a week because, you know, you want to have rest, recovery, and all that, but also you want to extend it out a little bit so you're not all done in the span of a week and a half, right, or two-week span. So anyway, it's almost done, and that's going to, you know, encapsulate here with the Orange and White game coming up on Saturday. So we talked offensive MVP potentials in segment number one. Who do we see being the defensive MVP? It's a double-edged sword right here, right? Because if your defense is owning the day, well, it's like, man, that offense is not good. If you have pass rushers coming off the edge and sacking the quarterback, or in this case, you know, maybe two-hand touching or coming close before they blow it dead, it's like, oh, man, offensive tackle is really, really struggling. If you have defensive backs picking up, you know, interceptions right and left, it's like, man, that quarterback, it's not good. But still, you want a little balance. You want a little variation here in the spring time. And again, what you're going to see if you're going to the Orange and White game, I mean, you're not going to see everything. You're not going to see every little wrinkle. You're going to see a base vanilla version of this offense. Doesn't mean they're not going to go fast. Doesn't mean they're not going to, you know, air it out and let it rip. But, you know, all those, you know, twists and turns and little things they put in each and every week for the opponents, you're not going to see any of that here in the Orange and White game. Also, if you're going to be watching from home, it's going to be broadcast on the SEC Network Plus. The SEC Network Plus will have the broadcast, and I believe the Vol Radio Network will also be on the air as well, so you can listen here locally in Knoxville on 99.1 The Sports Animal or wherever you know, your Vol Radio Network affiliates across this region. All right, so defensive side of the football. Let's start, you know, from the first layer, then work ourselves back to the second, third layers. On the first layer, I like, you know, two guys we've been talking about a lot, James Pierce or Joshua Josephs. Caleb Herring is not going to play in this game. He's pretty much, you know, taking the rest of the spring off as he's dealing with an injury right now. He'll factor into the rotation in the fall. He's big enough. He's long, man. He's going to be good. That's the younger brother of Elijah Herring. But, you know, no Byron Young, and understanding you can't really sack the quarterback, but you can still disrupt plays and, you know, cause plays to be blown dead with the whistle and all that. So I like speed off the edge. I think it's the quickest way to impact the quarterback and you know, derail an offense, and that's coming off the edge from the Leo position. James Pierce has had a good spring. Joshua Josephs has had a good spring. He needs to continue to bulk up a little bit in the weight room, but he's had a good spring. So I would look first when we're talking defensive potentials for MVPs to James Pierce or Joshua Josephs. Now, if you work yourself back to the second layer of the defense, again, Aaron Beasley probably won't play. How long will Keenan Peely even play? So you're going to see a whole lot of Elijah Herring, Caleb Perry, Arian Carter, Jeremiah Thielen, or Jalen Smith. Pat Garland's not going to play. I mean, you're going to see a whole lot of youth, just like Tennessee saw in scrimmage number two, on the second layer of the defense. You hope that the run fits improve a little bit and you minimize some mistakes, because there was some mistakes made in scrimmage number two from this group, and it's not any reason to panic. It's a good learning experience, but that just kind of comes with some of those young guys out there at the second layer. So if we're going MVPs for maybe linebackers, I would look to Elijah Herring because I think he'll play a ton. And then I would look at Arian Carter. Again, I've just been so impressed with the true freshman, a guy that should still be in high school right now. When you watch him go through individuals, man, he's just smooth, quick hips, does not look like a linebacker playing in space. His footwork, is the finesse there is just really, really good. And so He's already made some plays in scrimmages. Again, I mentioned that I saw him pick off Joe Milton and that practice we got to watch a couple weeks ago. I would kind of go there. I would go Elijah Herring on pure volume that he's going to get, or I would go Arian Carter because I think he's a freaking playmaker. I do. And then as we work ourselves back, I would go... It's really hard to kind of project, for starters, who's out there at cornerback with, you know, the quote-unquote first group, because quote-unquote there's no first group, second group, third group right now. At least that's what Willie Martinez said. So, I mean, in the secondary, I don't think there's going to be an MVP from this game. I'm going to be completely honest with you, but Gabe Judy-Lawley's had a really, really nice spring. Heard a lot of good things about Ricky Gibson and his athleticism and his ability to go ball hawk and go find that football. And then if you work your way over to safety, maybe it's a guy like Jordan Thomas. Jordan Thomas is a guy that's playing a little star right now. He's playing a little safety. Did really, really well as a freshman on special teams. So I think a guy like Jordan Thomas could be a guy that contributes for Tennessee this year in a reserve role, but you see his name, you see his number, and you start to kind of know his game. And he's a former Mississippi State commit, decommitted, committed here to Tennessee a couple of days later back in the class of 2022. Really nice kid to talk to. I like to root for that kid. I'm a fan of his for sure. So I think defensively, you're probably looking at a linebacker, if we're going to be honest here. Because, again, you can't sack the quarterback, but linebackers can make tackles on tackles on tackles. And I just don't know about the secondary, to be completely honest with you. I just don't know. Kamal Haddon has been repping with the quote-unquote first group for a lot of the spring. Again, I continue to say I think he might have more talent than anybody in the room, but there's just no consistency there. Danico Slaughter is a playmaker. Gabe Judy-Lawley brings experience, and I don't think he's going to get beat an awful lot. So, again, it'll be good to see that group, who's with who, where, all that type of stuff. That's coming up, orange and white game. But right now, if I'm picking one on the defense side of the football, I will go... Give me Arian Carter. Let's get funky here. Young players get a lot of run in spring games. And so I'll go Arian Carter on defense. And like I said, on offense, I'll just go Nico. I know that's probably the slam dunk answer, but I'll just go Nico there. Who do you think will be the orange and white game offensive and defensive MVPs? Fill those comment sections. Tweet me at _Kane or at @LockedOnVol. Send me a DM. Who do you think is going to be MVP of the orange and white game? One of each side, offense and defense. I would love to hear what you guys have to say. Former MVPs, maybe, of the orange and white game back in their day. Some NFL draft prospects who clad the big orange throughout their college days. Mel Kiper Jr., mock draft 4.0. You're going to want to hear this. If you haven't seen it already, where does Mel Kiper Jr. have some of Tennessee's favorite players going in this year's NFL draft? Some good news coming up next here on Locked On Vols. Back for more in a moment here on the show. All right, guys and gals, we got a final segment left here of this Wednesday Locked On Vols. Appreciate you guys. I know I say it every single day, but I really do. I appreciate you guys being here with me today and taking your time to catch up with us here on Locked On Vols. When you could be listening, you could be watching, you could be doing anything with your time. I appreciate you guys, this little time we have in the cubicle at work, maybe on the treadmill, maybe in the car as we're driving, commuting to work, or maybe coming home from work, wherever it is. Appreciate you guys for doing that with us here on Locked On Vols. All right, Mel Kiper Jr., mock draft 4.0. He released it early on Tuesday morning, and he's got two Vols going in the first round and two Vols going in the second round. Who are they and where are they going? Well, you're going to really, really like this, okay? Usually I wait to kind of go through, like when I'm going over a mock draft or anything like that, usually I'll wait towards the end of the segment to be like, oh yeah, well, if you're curious on who Mel Kiper, Todd McShay, or Jordan Reed, or whoever has in their top 10, here they are. I'm going to start with that because, well, there's a Tennessee player going top 10. Yeah, you heard me. In this mock draft, golly, if that happens in a couple weeks, boy, oh boy, oh boy, what an accomplishment. Okay, we'll get to that. All right, here we go. So, Carolina Panthers on the clock for Mel Kiper Jr.'s 4.0 mock draft. They take his number one quarterback, that being Bryce Young. C.J. Stroud goes number two to the Houston Texans in this exercise. The Tennessee Titans trade up from 11 to number three. And they take Anthony Richardson in this exercise. Man, oh man. As a Titans fan, I have a lot of mixed feelings about that. I recognize Anthony Richardson has the highest ceiling probably of anybody in this draft. I recognize that. He's an athletic freak. He single-handedly kept Florida and nearly led Florida to a comeback victory here in Knoxville this year. But, man, he is so inconsistent, and there's some real question marks about if he can be a passer in the National Football League. But, man, if Tennessee or if any team trades up to select him at number three, man, that is a big-time risk. Anyway, this is not the Anthony Richardson show. We'll continue on. So the Titans take Anthony Richardson at number three. The Colts take Will Levis, who Mel Kiper loves. Mel Kiper thinks Will Levis is his number two quarterback in the draft. Again, the intangibles, I see it, but gosh, he just was not very good in college whatsoever. Somebody got mad at me last week because I said Will Levis sucked. Well, if you have a problem with that, respectfully, do you know how to read a stat sheet? It just kind of is what it is. I mean, you said that I wasn't being professional about it. I mean, I guess I can see that. I mean, I wasn't trying to be completely rude, but just, I mean, dude sucked in college. He did. He's going to be a top 10 pick. He's going to make millions of dollars. I think you'll be okay with my criticism of saying that he sucked in college. Tennessee had the second to worst pass defense in the SEC. It was pathetic. And Will Levis only threw for 98 yards against Tennessee. Again, read a stat sheet. Will Levis goes number four to the Colts in this exercise. Jalen Carter, five to the Seahawks. Will Anderson Jr., six to the Lions. Devin Witherspoon, seven to the Raiders. Nolan Smith, eight to the Falcons. And then we come to number nine, and the Bears are on the clock. Remember, the Bears traded with the Carolina Panthers, moved back to number nine, still have a top 10 pick. And with the ninth pick in the 2023 NFL draft, Mel Kiper's 4.0 mock draft selects via the Chicago Bears. Let me try that again. Via the Chicago Bears, Darnell Wright, offensive tackle, Tennessee. Man, top 10 pick. You kidding me? Mel Kiper says, quote, Chicago dropped eight spots in round one and picked up a massive haul in the trade with Carolina, allowing it to keep premium picks in this year's draft and add future capital as well. And if it wants to add an instant starter at number nine, offensive tackle is the position to target. I like Wright's opportunity with the Bears if we're looking strictly at right tackle. Since Braxton Jones held his own at left side last season, Wright started 27 games at right tackle in college. His tape against Will Anderson Jr. and Alabama was phenomenal. He's the best right tackle in this class. My pal Lewis Reddick is a huge fan as well. This is a selection to keep quarterback Justin Fields clean. Makes a whole lot of sense. But also, when I was looking at this before I went on here and clicked record, I'm like, Darnell Wright, ninth of the Bears? Wow, that's awesome. Wait a minute. Is Darnell Wright the number one offensive tackle in this class according to this mock draft? It is. It is. You got Peter Skoronowski from Northwestern, 10th to the Eagles. You've got a couple picks down. You've got Broderick Jones, 13th to the Jets. You've got a couple more picks down. You've got Paris Johnson Jr., 19th to the Buccaneers. And those are kind of the offensive tackles that are in this class that you know, we talk about a lot, and we have been talking about a lot and trying to track, you know, Hendon Hooker. So, wow, if that is the case, and Darnell Wright is a top 10 pick, man, that is such a recruiting tool, not only for Josh Heupel, but for Glenn Ellerbe. For Darnell Wright, you just have to have the right fit, okay? He is a guy that doesn't trust easy. He absolutely trusts Glenn Ellerbe with his life in his hands, and it took off. You see that. So Tennessee's Darnell Wright goes number nine to the Bears in this exercise. Then you go all the way back towards the end of the first round, and you have the Seahawks with so much capital. I put in the Monday night chat a couple days ago, Seahawks got the fifth pick. They've got the 24th pick, I believe, and they've got the 37th pick. So they've got, or the 36th pick. They have three of the first 36 picks on the draft. You know, they can be whining and dialing and wheeling and dealing right on draft night. And I have absolutely loved Seattle as a destination for Hendon Hooker. In Mel Kiper Jr.'s 4.0 mock draft, he has the Seattle Seahawks trading with the Philadelphia Eagles to number 30 to pick up Hendon Hooker. You have that quarterback run in the top 10, which is likely what we're going to see. It went 1, 2, 3, 4. I don't know if it'll go 1, 2, 3, 4, but those four quarterbacks are going to be taken in the first 15 picks no matter what. And you're going to need a team that is quarterback hungry, maybe an instant, maybe not an instant impact guy right now, but a guy for the future, and the Seahawks make so much sense, okay? Here's what Mel Kiper Jr. has to say. There's some buzz about Hooker. Remember, Kiper does not like Hendon Hooker. We discussed that a couple days ago. There's some buzz about Hooker rising into the first round. This could be the perfect landing spot. I have a second round grade on him, but I see why he might be appealing. He led FBS in total QBR, yards per attempt last season. He threw just 5 picks in 2 seasons at Tennessee. His accuracy on deep throws is really good. The downside, he played in a quarterback-friendly offense, didn't have to go through progressions, which again is completely false. I have so much respect for Mel Kiper Jr., but that is completely false, and is coming off a torn ACL suffered in November. Well, I mean, sure, you can see stock dropping right now because ACL, but in the grand scheme of things, ACLs don't mean anything anymore. They really don't. There's going to be a learning curve in the NFL. Plus, he's already 25 years old, so there's questions about his ceiling. For Seattle, as I mentioned in the previous mock draft, the details of Geno Smith's contract extension show it's only a 1-year commitment. The team could easily move on after 1 year and turn to Hooker. I think this makes so much sense. I think Minnesota makes sense. I think Detroit makes sense. I think Seattle makes so much sense. You don't need to be rushed in immediately. Sit back, watch a year, maybe two. Quarterbacks are playing longer and longer and longer in the NFL these days. They really are. So I think that's a really, really good opportunity for Hendon Hooker there to go 30th. So, hey, in this mock draft 4.0, Mel Kiper Jr., Hendon Hooker goes 30th. You have Darnell Wright going number 9 overall, and then you continue to go down a little bit, continue to go down. Let's go to the second round. The 45th overall pick. The Green Bay Packers select Byron Young. What? You were thinking I was going to say Jalen Hyatt, right? No, Byron Young. Quote, the defense really struggled after Rashawn Gary went down last season. The Packers need to rebuild their edge rushing depth. Young is an ideal fit for the team that runs a 3-4. He can explode at the snap and bend around an offensive tackle to get to the quarterback. He tested extremely well at the combine. One thing to keep in mind, at 25, he's one of the oldest prospects in the class that could push him down the boards of some teams. Man, what's with Tennessee and all these old prospects, right? Byron Young, who Mel Kiper has always liked. If you remember way back a couple months ago, Mel Kiper had him in one of his first mock drafts going 20th to the Seahawks in the first round. Mel Kiper has been the highest guy on Byron Young. We'll see if he gets selected in the second round. But I think that if it's not the second round, it's early, early third. So Byron Young's going 45th to the Packers. And then where's Jalen Hyatt? There's Jalen Hyatt all the way at 55th overall to the Detroit Lions. Not a whole lot of analysis here. Kiper just says, let's recap the Lions haul in the first 2-round mock. Here are my picks for them. 6, Will Anderson Jr. 18, Bijan Robinson. 48, Jack Campbell, who's a linebacker at Iowa. And at number 55, Hyatt, a speedy 6-foot wideout with 11 touchdowns while lined up in the slot last season. Remember, he had 15 touchdowns overall, but of course some of those could be stacked outside in tandems. He said, that's an A grade, right? All these prospects would play early and often for Detroit. Yeah, that'd be quite a haul for Detroit, and Hyatt can pair with that group of wide receivers in Detroit right now that's pretty good if you're not keeping up with what the Detroit Lions, and I don't expect anybody to be diehard Detroit Lions fans listening to Locked On Vols, but maybe you are, and if you are, you know what I'm saying, that the wide receiver pool there in Detroit right now, it's not bad. You had Hyatt in there, woo, you got you some things to work with if you're Jared Goff. So those are the ones that are in this 2-round mock draft 4.0 by Mel Kiper Jr. No Cedric Tillman. If he's not a second-round pick, he's going to be right. I mean, just like what I said about Byron Young, if Cedric Tillman is not a second-round pick, he will be very early third round for sure. So, pretty good turnout here for Tennessee. But, man, Darnell Wright, according to Mel Kiper, projected 9th overall to Chicago Bears. That is something. We continue to get closer and closer to the NFL draft, and we'll cover it all. We'll continue to preview it, and we'll recap it all right here on Locked On Vols. Guys, appreciate it as always. Thank you so much for making Locked On Vols your first listen each and every day. Let's be back or come back. We'll do it again tomorrow. And we look forward to breaking more storylines down for this orange and white game and news and notes around the Tennessee football program and recruiting. What recruits are going to be on campus for the orange and white game? That's coming up later this week. All that and more right here on Locked On Vols. You guys have a great rest of your Wednesday, everybody.